Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. And let me make a couple of announcements before we get started. First of all, I want to thank people that are giving. I just appreciate your faithfulness. Also, just to keep in mind that giving is important. I know it's hard for some people right now because of their work situation and their income situation. But you know, giving to God is a form of worship, and giving is an opportunity for us to grow in our faith, because as we give out of what we have, or we give at a time where we're really having to trust God, it positions us to see God come through. And so it's really something that helps us in our walk. But I want to thank you for your giving. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And so you can give a couple of different ways. One, you can email it. You can mail it to us. And the other one is you can give through our website, which is icgrace.org. Also, there's a couple of different ways to listen to this today. One is you can listen through our webpage. On icgrace.org, if you click on media, and then it'll take you to the media page, and on there will be the Bible study lesson that we just recorded. There will be a worship set that has been put together, and then there will also be the message for today. And so you can listen to it through the web page, but it'll just be audio only. But you can also watch us live as it's happening on Facebook Live, and you just go to COG Family Community. Now today we have opened it up to a wider audience, but if you want to be able to post anything, you have to be a part of the COG Family Community group. But anybody can watch it now, and so we're trying to make it a little bit easier for everybody. And so if you have any questions or having a problem with getting on Facebook Live, you can go to our person that's handling that. And his email is patrick.v, as in Victor, at sbcglobal.net. And he will be happy to help you. Also posted on our church email page, which is our COG list, our COG list, is the questions for the Bible study class that we just had. And there will be the questions that I've been posting to reflect on after the message is over. And so you can go there and you can look at those. So let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So let's pray. So, Father, I want to thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to hear your Word taught, and for us to get together, and even this way virtually, and to be able to talk about the Word with one another. Father, it is my prayer that you would just open our hearts and minds to what you want to say today. That you would give us wisdom and discernment, but also, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to be able to hear your Spirit as it's speaking to our hearts and speaking to our minds about what you have for us personally through what's said today. Father, I also pray for the mothers today, because today is Mother's Day, and today is a Mother's Day unlike any other Mother's Day in history. Today there will be days where families cannot get together. There will be some families that will get together virtually, and there will be some families that can still gather because they were together anyway. But Lord, whatever the circumstance, Lord, I just pray for the mothers. I pray a special blessing on them, Father, as they have raised children, guided them, taught them, nurtured them, all the things that mothers have done, showing the love and the things that mothers do, the cooking and the cleaning and all the things that mothers do. And there's so many, that there are a lot of people in the world right now that would not be the people that they are if it weren't for their mothers. And so we just pray your special blessing on them today. I pray that you bless them every day, but I pray especially for today. Lord, we just thank you for them. There are some that are doing the role of father as well as mother. Bless them. Lord, there are those of us today that today is a hard day because for some, they have lost their mother. Or some never had a mother. And so for today, for some, this is a hard day. Lord, wherever people are at on this day, I pray that you would meet them, that you would bless them, that you would minister to them, that you would comfort them. Father, I also want to lift up today, Lord, those that are on the front line of serving. I want to pray for the nurses. I pray for the doctors. I pray for the care workers. I pray for all those that are out there that are serving people, that are coming in contact with people who may potentially have contracted the virus. Father, these people that are putting themselves at risk, Lord, I pray that you would bless them as they serve. These people that their passion for serving, their passion for giving out of the way that they serve is a stronger drive than for their own personal safety. Father, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you keep them safe, Lord, and protect them and protect all those that they come in contact with so that this virus isn't spread any further. And Father, I pray for those who have been exposed to the virus. And I pray for those who have contracted it. Lord, I thank you that on our prayer list here at the church, half of the people who have contracted it are now recovering. And I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for their continued recovery and strengthening and healing. Father, I pray for those that are still wrestling with it, still battling with it, that have not seen recovery yet. Lord, we pray for their healing. Not just in our church. I'm talking about everywhere. I'm praying for everyone on the globe right now, Lord, that you would heal them of this virus. I pray, Lord, in your name, Lord Jesus, that this virus would be stomped out. That it would be obliterated. Lord, that you would just remove it from our world. Lord, I pray for people to come back to health quickly. Lord, I pray for people to be healed. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that are recovering, that their recovery would be swift and speedy and complete. But I also pray, Lord, that you would remove all the fear that has come with this. I think that the second greatest problem with this virus is the fear that has been generated from it. I pray that you would break that blanket of fear off of our world that is there. I pray for healing. I pray for freedom. And I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to take a minute because there may be some of you that have not been listening before, and even after a week, sometimes we need a little reminder. And so I want to do a little bit of a review on what I talked about last week, because I'm going to continue on with that same train of thought today. And so last week, with all that's going on, you know, and continues to go on with the shelter in place, it continues to go on with the virus, I want to continue to look at Hebrews chapter 11 to give us some encouragement in this time of uncertainty, this time of change, this time of anxiety, and this time of fear. Now faith is the cure for fear. And we as people of faith need to come into agreement with faith and stand on it. And faith is being challenged today like never before because of the situations that we're facing. The positive in the challenges is that running to faith, picking faith up, embracing it, grabbing it, and claiming it in a time where we may not be feeling so strong actually helps to reinforce faith in us. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." You know, this time is a time that is testing our faith. But the positives of testing our faith is that testing shows us where we are so we can work to improve the areas in our faith that need strengthening that have been revealed through the testing. Also, we're a witness to others in our times of testing. And so standing strong and seeing God come through in our situations shows the faithfulness and the reality of our God to other people. But standing tall when we feel weak, hanging on to what we believe in difficulty, walking out what we say in a challenge. These things that we can wrestle with, you know, others see this. Others see this in us. And the thing about it is if they know we're believers, they're really paying attention to us and they're really watching us. Because people want to see how believers do real life. They want to see, is our faith all talk? Or is what we are demonstrating in our actual situations, is it real? And if it is, that speaks to people in a way unlike any other. And it grows us as we stand on what we say and believe as we face these difficulties. In addition to that, what testing does is it grows our faith, and we learn through the testing. And by the way, the things that we grow in and the things that we learn, they don't just help us. The things that we learn, God uses us to help other people. So faith is believing without seeing. It's believing before you see it. Faith comes out of trusting God. And as we step out in trust, our faith is strengthened by stepping out and seeing what we were trusting for actually happening. It gives us a real-life example to hold on to which gives us encouragement for the next time that we step out in faith. As we looked at some of the people that were mentioned in chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, we looked at Abel, for example, who, because of his faith, gave sacrifices to God because he believed. And he believed before he saw, and he gave because he saw. And when we see God move in our situations, as I said, it increases, it encourages us. It encourages us for the things that we are believing for that we haven't seen yet. Let me give you an example of this. My brother moved back to the States from another country here several years ago. And when he did, he had to go back to school. And he took a course that was challenging for him. And as he did the different assignments and took the different tests that go with taking classes in school, he found them very challenging. And some he was very nervous about, he had some anxiety about them, but he did really well in everything that he did. And my brother has a strong walk with God. And so as these new assignments and tests would come, he would do them, he would do very well. But the next assignment that came and the next test that came, again, that stress and anxiety would come up. And one of the things that I told him was, I said, the tests that you have passed, the assignments that you did well in, those are encouragements to you for the tests and the assignments that are in front of you. Because God was with you here, God will be with you here. He ended up doing so well in school when he finally finished that they didn't grade on a letter system. Like, they didn't give you A's or B's or pass or fail. They gave you a number. And the highest number that you could possibly get was 1,000. And he got 1,002. They didn't have 1,002 on their scale. They only went to 1,000. Somebody made a mistake. But they told him, because you did so well, we're going to keep that 1,002 on your record. We're not going to take it off. That shows how good a job he did, and it shows how faithful God was to him in his situation. And so the things that God has been faithful in us for in the past encourage us for the things that we're going to be facing and going into. The other person we looked at was Enoch. Enoch saw what he believed for. He believed he wouldn't die, and he didn't. He was taken up to heaven without experiencing death first. And so what he believed seemed impossible, but he believed for it, and it happened. Same with Noah, who was the other one we looked at last week. You know, Noah was 500 years old when he built that ark, when he built that boat. That boat was the length of 1.5 football fields. You know, and it was it was to hold all the male and female animals of each, you know, one of each species, you know, on the earth. And it's got to hold all that, and then he's trusting God that the designs for this boat that God gave him, you know, what materials to use, how to put it together, all of this, that he's trusting God that this boat is going to make it through this flood that went for 40 days. And so, and he was, you know, actually went longer than that. It only rained for 40 days, but he was believing that God would do what he said. And he was believing that God would protect him and protect his family. And so these men that we talked about last week, you know, they saw great things because of their faith and believed for great things. And God is working in us today in a time that is like no other. And he's building our faith, and he shows himself faithful in this great time that we are in as well. You know, through the great challenges that we're facing, just like these people that we talked about. So today I want to go on into more of Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 8. And it says in verses 8 through 11, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So Abraham represents a tremendous example of faith. But first, he's told just to go. I mean, he's going to be the father of a nation, but first he's told just to go. He's told to leave that which was familiar, that which was comfortable, you know, his family, his home, and he does this. He does leave. You know, he's told to go to a place that God would show him. And so Abraham does this at the age of 75. Starting over, striking out his own at the age of 75. And so in faith, he steps out from the familiar, from the comfortable, living in his father's house and family, to go into the unknown. You know, and he's going to go into the unknown as an alien, as a stranger, you know, with just his wife, his nephew, and his servants from his house. And to go to wherever it was. And God would do the impossible with him. God blessed him. God gave him descendants. Even though his wife was unable to have children, God gave him descendants. And that his name would be great, and he would be a great nation. But he started out living in a tent, in a strange place. And when he got to Canaan, God says to him, "I'm going to give you all this land." But the thing about it, the land was already occupied. There were people living in it. There were people who had settled there. There were big cities in the land. But he's in a tent. A stranger in a strange land. He's the new kid on the block, if you will. And then, after he gets there, then there's a famine. So he has to leave and go to Egypt. Now, later he would return and come back to Bethel in Canaan. But here's the thing. Living in faith does not mean the absence of difficulties. Faith is walking with God through that difficulty. So he takes us through it. He doesn't keep you in it. He takes you through it. And as a result of that, we grow and we thrive through the things that we get through the experience. So stepping out in faith is to face challenges. Some will be minor, some will be major. But stepping out in faith tests faith. It shows us where our faith is, it shows us how strong our faith is, and where our faith is not as strong. As we step out in these challenges, it makes our faith stronger. So stepping out into something easy does not require much faith. Or we have grown in our faith to the point to where something now seems easy because we've grown. But stepping out into something that is difficult for us is what really tests it. And as we step out into that thing, it grows it. So Abraham faced all these challenges as he followed God and stepped out towards what God promised him, despite how things appeared. And that is a test of faith. So stepping out in faith, trusting God in what he says, not only tests our faith, it grows it, as you step out into it. But faith also makes you courageous. Going back to Hebrews 11:1 again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So because of the assurance that faith gives us, because of faith, we have a conviction. We know before we physically see it that we are stepping, we see what we're stepping out into on faith. And we're trusting God for what is going to happen. Because we have this assurance. We just have this knowing. And this gave Abraham the courage to step out into the unknown on just what God told him. We need to also remember that we're talking about stepping out in faith, not only on what he tells you, which doesn't mean stepping out in faith on something that was not God's word and trusting God for that for which he didn't tell you is going to happen. Let me give you an example of this. There's a pastor that I knew. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he told me a story about early in his ministry to where he preached a sermon. And in this sermon, he said, if you come to Jesus, you will have no more problems in your life. Life will be wonderful. It will all be bliss, when you come to Jesus. And so there was a woman in the congregation. She left church that day. She believed that message. She got in her car, and on her way home, she got in a car accident. Now, she didn't die, but the other passengers in the car did from the accident. So after she recovered, her and the pastor had a conversation. And she said, "You told me that if I received Jesus, that I would have no more problems in my life. I got in a car accident as soon as I left church after I received the Lord, and I lost my family members." And the pastor is very upset by this, and later he's praying and he says, "God, I don't understand this. Why did you let this happen?" And he says, "God told him, I didn't tell you to preach that message." And so we need to remember that when we step out in faith, that we are stepping out in what God told us. Which doesn't mean that the stepping out on faith on something that you haven't heard from God on, and you don't see the results that you were trusting God for. If you're not stepping out with God in it, it may not happen because you're not stepping out with God. You can have faith, but you got to make sure you have faith in what God is telling you and not what something else is telling you that is contrary to Him. Verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So as I said last week, if we play it safe and we don't step out in faith, our desire for safety may prevent us from seeing our faith rewarded. Sarah wasn't able to have children until she stepped out in faith because she went with Abraham. So some people don't step out in faith because it's hard, and some people don't step out in faith because they don't believe. But that promise of having children, became a reality after she stepped out in faith. Now, there was a difference of 25 years between when God told them to go and when she actually had the child. There was a difference of 25 years. And so the thing about it is that it didn't happen immediately. But the timing of things made it even more miraculous. Genesis 11, 29 and 30 says, Abram, and that's Abraham, and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, or Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren, and she had no children. So she was barren, when they got married. When you go to Genesis chapter 12, So Abram left forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his nephew, and their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. So this is when God told him to go, and he went. Then we go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old, and will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" This is right before she had the child. Then in Genesis 21, verse 5, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And so some of the things that we have faith for don't happen on our timetable. Okay? But they always happen on God's timetable. God's timetable is always better, because with God's timetable, sometimes things are more miraculous. You know, our stepping out of faith not only grows us, but it's also a witness of Him, and He will use us. He will use what we've stepped out in our faith on to bring Him glory, which therefore becomes a testimony to other people. And it draws others to Him, as well as ministering to other people and encouraging other people. See, the thing that we need to remember is that when we step out in faith, it's not just about us. It's also about the kingdom. It's about kingdom work. You know, Abraham's story gives us hope today. You know, that a man of 100 years old can become a father. That a woman who is barren from the beginning at 90 has a child. It gives us hope for the things that are impossible. The things that seem too incredible to happen. We look at the example of Abraham and his step of faith, and we go, you know what? That encourages me. You know, it encourages me when I have to wait on God. You know, one of the things I hear from people a lot is, you know, I got this word from the Lord and it didn't happen right away. Well, we need to remember that there's a timetable. You know, our timetable is we want it yesterday. But God's timetable is different. And so we may have to wait. But waiting doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. And that's where the faith part comes in. It's trusting and believing for that thing, even if it doesn't happen on our timetable. And it also means that we're trusting for something that seems impossible, that seems too incredible to happen. And sometimes in our situations, they seem huge. They seem impossible. They seem incredible. And we need to remember that sometimes we are in those situations because God is building a story and a testimony. In addition to working on us, that story and that testimony is going to encourage other people who need to hear that story about the impossible thing that God did in our life. So Abraham was a man who saw some of these things that he had faith for come to happen when he could see them. And some things that he stepped out in faith for, he did not see the fulfillment of, but his descendants did. Some things we have stepped out in faith are not just for us, but they're for other people. And our walk of faith goes beyond us to touch the lives of others after us. You know, people that we may not even know. That hear of our story and are touched by it or impacted by the events of it. You know, you go back to Abraham. You know, Sarah has a son, Isaac. And then after the birth of Isaac, Sarah dies and then Abraham dies. And Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter. And those 12 sons were the foundation for the 12 tribes of Israel and the foundations for the nation that Abraham was promised. He didn't see it, but he saw the beginnings of it with the birth of Isaac. You know, going back to verses 9 and 10 of Hebrews 11, says, "By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." It's not just having faith. It's what you have faith for. Abraham was looking beyond just himself. He was looking to what God was building from his walk of faith. You know, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is God building with our faith? You know, I've heard it said that it wasn't as much about God telling Abraham to go as it was that Abraham just couldn't stay where he was when he left to go to Canaan. You know, Abraham and Sarah did see the fulfillment of some of what they stepped out in for faith. They saw their son born at an age that was impossible, and she was barren before that. Abraham became a great man. You know, by the time we get to chapter 13 of Genesis, Abraham and Lot, his nephew, have so much wealth and they have so much livestock that they had to separate because the land couldn't support them both. When we get to chapter 14, Abraham defeats and rescues his nephew Lot from Chedorlaomer and the kings who took him and his possessions and people. So here you've got Abraham battling kings, not just one, but several battling kings. When we get to Genesis 23, which verses 5 and 6, you know, this is when his wife Sarah died. It says, "The sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, 'Hear us, my Lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you, his grave for burying your dead.'" He did see the fulfillment of some things. You know, he saw the birth of a son. You know, his name became great. These were things that were promised him. You know, but would he have seen any of this if he had stayed at home in his father's house? Let's go down to verse 13 of Hebrews 11. "All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." God promised Abraham, and he reaffirmed those promises to him many times. God reaffirmed the promises, those same promises, to Isaac and Jacob that came after him. And all of these men had hard times. And they all became men of wealth. And each came closer to seeing the fulfillment of the original promise, but they had a vision for something better. I mean, they all could have just gone home. They all could have said, "Forget this land of Canaan thing. I'm going back home." They all could have done that. But as they stepped out in faith, and they stepped out in faith with God, he not only walked with them and worked in their lives as he does in us when we do the same thing, but he not only works with us, he works in us. And what changes eventually is what we look for and what we desire. This started out as going to a land that I will show you. This started out as all this land will be yours. But when you get to 16, you know, it says that, "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." A better country that is a heavenly one. They started out looking at geographical land, and somewhere in through the journey of faith, something changed to where they were looking for something better, something that lasts. Going from an earthly kingdom to a heavenly one. something eternal. This time of shelter in place, this time of COVID-19, is unlike anything that we have seen in human history. This time is challenging. This time is confusing. This time is scary, and this time is disheartening. But just as our spiritual forefathers walked with God through their challenges, they walked in faith and they stood on what God told them. And it changed them and what they were trusting for. And our faith doesn't just grow our faith more as we walk in it. It transforms us. It changes you in how you see yourself. It changes in what you're looking to, and it changes in what you're looking for. Because you can't come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not be changed. And when you walk in faith with Him, you are in His presence, holding His hand as you walk through your situations and the things that you depend on Him for. And this changes you. Let me give you an example. As I said last week, before I went into full-time ministry, I was going to be an artist. Well, I went to art school twice. I got halfway through and I quit, and that's a whole nother story. But I ended up going back later and finishing. Part of my going back and finishing was an act of faith, because I didn't want to go back. I did it out of obedience and faith. I was afraid I was going to fail. I didn't. In fact, I did better the second time around. But the thing about it is when I started out going to art school initially the first time, I was like 19. And it was at age 19 that I really got a hold of God. I'd grown up in church. I'd been saved since I was 9. But it wasn't until age 19 that I really got serious about God. And I really went deep in my walk with Him. And so when I started art school, I dreamed about, you know, being a great artist, and I dreamed about having a huge house and a fancy car and all this stuff, because artists can make really good money. When I went back to school years later, I didn't desire the big house. I didn't desire the fancy car. I didn't desire all the stuff. In fact, I was really struggling with being an artist at all, because to be a commercial artist meant that I was going to have to do lots of work in advertising and things like that. And I just had a hard time using the gift God had given me to promote people's stuff. I wanted to do something to advance the kingdom of God. Something had changed in me as I had walked the walk of faith with Him. Something had changed me. The thing about it is do you see the changes in you in your walk of faith? Now, if you don't worry, because you will. You know, just as you keep walking in faith with you, things are as you keep walking in faith with Him, things are happening. You may just not be aware of it, but things are happening. And part of what God is doing in this time of the virus is working our faith muscles. And we're having to and so we are having to keep going in faith. And we're having to do this under pressure, in stress, in uncertainty, you know, and with the things that are constantly changing with the situation with the virus. And as we go through it all, we go through it all in faith with Him, and He is growing us in the crisis, and He is changing us in the crisis. And this is what faith does, because we see in faith. And because we see in faith, crisis becomes victory, and crisis becomes opportunity. It becomes opportunity to grow. It becomes opportunities to advance. It becomes opportunities to thrive, and it creates opportunities for change. You know, I said this last week too. You know, this time is a time of reset. Well, I think another word for reset is change. Whether we're talking about large groups of people or we're talking about individuals. You know, the thing is, do you see the changes? Do you see the changes in you? You know, do you see the changes in what you're looking for? You know, are you seeing these changes in you as you walk the walk of faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I know that we don't like challenges. We don't like change. I know we would like things to be nice and calm and easy and familiar, but unfortunately we don't grow through that like we grow through challenge. And as we are holding on to your hand, walking through that stuff, Lord, that's where the growth really comes. That's where the change really happens. Father, I thank you that because you are so hungry to see us grow, you're so hungry to see us step into the fullness of how you've designed us, to see all those things shed off of us that have gotten onto us from life, that you use challenges in the walk of faith to shed them off of us. I thank you, God, that you are more concerned with our growth than you are with our comfort. Comfort comes and goes, but transformation is lasting. And you are changing us for eternity. God, I thank you that you have such a bigger picture of things than we do. But I pray, Father, that you would just open up the scope of our seeing in the spiritual to see the fullness of what you're doing. Just as today we've gone to a bigger audience, I pray that you would just expand our vision to see something greater, to see that heavenly city whose builder is you, and look past the city of the flesh, the city of the world, to see that heavenly city and see our place in that heavenly city. God, I just thank you for what you're doing in this time. I pray that you would just give us the eyes to see what you're doing, and you give us the strength to stay with you in it. And I thank you that you're there every step of the way. You know, Psalm 23 says that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Whether we're talking about death or we're talking about life, we have times in our life that seem dark. They seem troubling. But I thank you that verse says that you take us through that valley. You don't leave us there. You don't abandon us there. You take us through it to that heavenly city. Thank you, Lord. We just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're King over this virus. You're King over this whole situation. You're Lord over it all. And we thank you because we have you. We're holding on to your hand through this. And you're saying, don't worry, my child. I'm not letting go. We'll get through this. Thank you, Lord. We just give you glory. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you go, as I said, I posted some questions for you to reflect on and to think about. So let me just read these to you, but you can also go to the COG list or COG list, and you can read them there. But the first question is, what are your examples of great faith? You know, what are your examples in Scripture or in real life that have inspired you? And what are examples from your own life? Second question is, what are the promises that God has made to you that you're still waiting on? The third question is, do any of the promises you've listed in question number two, which was the one I just read, seem too impossible to believe God for their being fulfilled? And question four is, what are the promises that God has made to you that you have seen him fulfill? Question five, how does the answers to questions two, three, and four encourage you on question four? The reason I ask those questions is this, is that when we start to think about where God has fulfilled what he said, encourage us for the things that are in front of us that we're still waiting on. So it's important to look at what God has done in your life to encourage you for the future. Question number 6 is, what is God building in you with your faith? And question 7 is, in what ways is your faith transforming you? So thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.